Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Lou Ann Crane.
Thanks for tuning in to this Family Talk broadcast today. Dr. Dobson, I know that one of your historical heroes is Sir Winston Churchill. Here's a great quote from him that's quite appropriate for our topic today. He said, "The truth is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it, ignorance may deride it, but in the end, there it is."
That man comes up with the best summaries of life itself. Mm-hmm. I have a book with 600 of his quotes in it, and the title of it is Churchill by Himself. He doesn't need anything else. Whatever he talks about will be said in a way that's enlightening, and that comment is one of them. And isn't it comforting what he said there, that at a time when moral relativism has run amok, there is something called absolute truth, and we can know it. It's amazing that most people today in Western culture no longer believe in absolute truth. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe in absolute truth, obviously, by definition, you mean that there is nothing that is always true or false. That means that the existence of God cannot be known, or the validity of the scriptures, or who Jesus Christ is. None of those things can be known for sure. Many Christians believe that. And it's so unfortunate, because if that's the position you take, you're at sea. You don't have a handle on what you believe at all.
Well, a lot of people know the voice of Rand Dobson, our colleague here at the table. And Doctor, really, this is one of the foundational messages that Ryan goes around sharing these days. I love to hear him speak on this.
And we heard the first half or three quarters of that message yesterday, and I don't want people to miss a word of it. We're going to roll back a little bit and let them hear the rest of your presentation. Ryan, what do parents need to know about this generation? What is the culture doing to them? And what advice would you have for them?
Well, I know we've heard it before, but it's tough. It's tougher than it's ever been before. I think every generation thinks it's never been tougher, and maybe that's true, but it is tough on kids today. My advice is time. Spend it with your kids. Don't let them push you away. In the teen years, you'll have a lot of this angst and pushing away, and I don't want you around, and I don't want you in my life. Don't let it happen. Be there for them, because in times of crisis, they're going to need somebody to fall back on, and the parent is the number one resource for them. That's what you were for me, and that's how I got to be where I am today, because of the time you and Mom spent with me.
And the only thing I would add to that is you start in the preschool years. You start really in infancy. Because you build a relationship that will hold you in good stead when the culture is assaulting everything that they believe.
But it's never too late. Even if you haven't built that relationship before, you can stick in your kid's life and say, through thick and thin, I will be here from now on.
Okay, Luann, we're going to hear the rest of the presentation that we started yesterday. We'll hear the balance, and then, Ryan, I'll throw some questions at you.
All right.
All right, here is Ryan. He was speaking at a large youth apologetics conference about this whole concept of truth and its role in our culture. So pleased to let you hear a little bit more of our co-host, Ryan Dobson, on this Family Talk broadcast.
You know the whole thing, how we can always agree and compromise and get along? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, that doesn't work. He's like, no, it does. It always works. I'm like, well, it literally never works. When you believe something different from me, we can't ever both be right. He's like, Ryan, we can. We can always compromise. I'm like, can we? Do you have a wallet? And he goes, yeah. I go, does it have money and credit cards in it? He said, yes. I said, can I have it? He was like, well, why? I'm like, I don't have enough money and credit cards. I want yours. Can I have yours? And he was like, no. I'm like, well, you want to compromise? He was like, of course. I'm like, just give me half. That'd be great. Just give me, we'll go to lunch after this, I'll buy. I'm like, it doesn't work. If you think north is that way and I think it's that way, one of us has to be wrong. In fact, we might both be wrong, because the earth doesn't care what I believe. The polar caps, the earth, aren't waiting for me to wake up and go, today it will be this way. The earth is like, this way, that way, this way. Two people believe different things, so we will split into parallel universes and we can all be right in our own separate universe of reality and rightness or not. So, wrong ish. Hug? But what you believe will have consequences on your life. Yeah, we talked about that. We talked the rest of the flight. And as we got off the plane, he goes, you know, Ryan, I don't know if I consciously believe in right and wrong, but maybe I subconsciously do. And I was like, okay. And that's a start. That's a start. Start thinking maybe there's possibly truth out there. What is tolerance? How does tolerance work in America right now? Have you seen the bumper sticker that says coexist with all the different religious symbols? That makes you a moron. I'm sorry. I know that's not what I'm supposed to say from stage, especially in this room, but that doesn't ever work. It's not going to work at the end of the day. When you die, that won't work. We don't all get to go, oh, yay, there aren't many, many roads to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. You have to read the Bible. Stop reading what people think about the Bible and read the Bible. God gave this to you. He wrote that book. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay. I mean, just for a second, jump way up in the high part of your brain, in the big conscious thinking part, not the feeling, touchy, huggy part. Like way up here, jump up in here, get into it. God wrote a book. God, in the Bible, says through him all things are held together. When you walk out here and you see Pike's Peak, God made Pike's Peak. He made that. When you walk out and you go, that's so beautiful, he made it because he knew that you would think it was beautiful. That's why he has you walk out a specific time of day to look up and go, oh my goodness, it's beautiful. And a bird flies by. And you're like, a bird flew by. That's amazing. And the Lord knew that. He wrote a book and gave it to you. That makes my brain just melt and drip out my ears. I don't know. That concept is so fascinating. And we forget that he gave us the book. So we read about someone, what they think about the Bible, instead of reading God's word. That's amazing. It's amazing. Christmas and Easter, how does tolerance work in the workplace? You can't have a Bible on your desk, can't have a cross on your desk, but nobody goes, oh, you give them a Christmas present, you go, Merry Christmas, here's a present, and they don't go, oh my goodness, you're offending and oppressing me, don't give me presents, that offends and oppresses me, you must give me holiday gift. They're like, oh, present, woo, and those weird people like fold it and unwrap and then save, and what's wrong with you people? Easter? Would you like some Easter peeps? No, marshmallowy goodness. You know, tolerance is one-sided, by the way. Tolerance only works in one direction. You can believe anything that you want. Accept the Bible and accept Christianity, accept there are rules that govern your life and there are consequences for your actions. If you believe that, that is intolerant. You understand that? That's intolerant. Every other belief system in the world is getting along famously with each other. They're all having this big, grand, love, warm, huggy, nuggy fest. And then you're like, well, I think this is wrong. No! And they call you names. You know, calling names isn't very tolerant, by the way. Don't know if you know that. By the way, when someone calls you a name, that's how you know that you've won the argument. What that actually says in real world terms is, I have nothing to say to you, Minnie! You got me, jerk. That's what it means. And you see this all the time. I can say this because you're here for knowledge and you're learning. And that is so important. Don't ever stop that. But when someone calls you a name or they question your belief system and you don't have an answer back, you know it's great? You're still right. Think about that. This is the most amazing thing you can ever have in a conversation or a debate, because they're very, very different things. I'll get to that in just 1 second. Conversations, debates, very, very different things. And we forget that, and so we start a conversation and we get into a debate. And you shouldn't ever do that. But at the end of the day, you're still right. You get to go to heaven. Do you know that? Even if you answer all the questions wrong, and like your friends are like, why do you believe this? And you're like, I don't know. You get to go to heaven still. It's not like Jesus is up there going, oh yeah, but you didn't answer that question right about, you know, epistemology and the history of something obscure. Have you studied? Do you know the answer now? I don't know the answer now. Sorry. No, you believe in Jesus. You have your heart. You're following him. You asked to forgive us for your sins. You're trying to follow Christ in, you know, every way, shape, and form. That's fantastic. You get to go to heaven. So you have to stop getting angry. Okay? Stop getting mad. I don't know why we do that as Christians. We have the Lord in our heart. If God is for me, who can be against me? By the way, nobody. He always wins. Do you know he's always right? Isn't that frustrating sometimes? Like, you want to do this, and the Lord's like, you should do this. And you're like, but I want to do this. And he's like, I'm always right, and if you don't do it, you're a sinner. It always happens that way. He's always right. And by following him, you get to go to heaven. So when you're talking to your friends, and they're like, but you're really mean. Are you mean? No. You love this person. Did the conversation maybe get a little out of hand? Maybe. Did your feathers get ruffled? Okay, maybe. I'm just saying. Does it happen to me? Yeah. I try to stop at that point. I'm like, you know what? I'm getting angry. We should talk about, like, music or cars or Jell-O. Did you know that I know why I like Jell-O? And then we talk about Jell-O and we both enjoy Jell-O and then we have a commonality together and then we get to talk about something else that may be a little more difficult. Stop getting angry. Love people. Show them that you love them. Think about why. Why do they believe this? Why? Conversation versus debate. I have a very good friend. She is insanely intelligent. She's an attorney in California. Passed the bar first time around. Talk to an attorney. I have a good friend who's an attorney in California. After the first day of the bar, it's a three-day test, by the way. First day, he got in his car and had a nervous breakdown. He said, I wept on the way home. I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital. I was like, I'm going to die. I should die. I failed everything. I'm never going to amount to anything at all. She passed the first time around, flying colors. Doesn't believe one thing that I believe. Fights against all the things that I believe in. She's an amazing, caring, compassionate person. Still doesn't believe what I believe. And we're driving to the airport one day, and she's like, Ryan, can I ask you a question? I was like, sure. She's like, why do you hate the gays? What? Now listen, you want to know the truth? The truth is that's a really offensive thing to say. Because you know me. You've known my wife her entire life. You see me love my wife and treat her with respect. You see me raise my child with love and care and all those things. You've seen me love you as a person, and yet you assume I hate an entire group of people, that I'm a hateful person? Have I ever exhibited anything that would hint at hatefulness? Did I say all those things? No, because that shuts a conversation down. It doesn't make her feel safe or cared about or understood or heard. And you know what? I don't hate people. It's not true, so I don't need to get angry. Remember, don't get mad. I said, I don't hate anybody. She's like, well, you don't believe in gay marriage. I'm like, well, yeah, I think it's bad for the country, but that just means we have differing political viewpoints. I don't hate anybody. She's like, well, it sounds hateful. I'm like, well, can I ask you a question? She's like, sure. I said, do you hate Laura and I? She's like, what? No. I'm like, I think that you do. She's like, why would you say that? I'm like, because you don't believe in any of the things that I believe in. You fight against them all. So clearly you must hate me too, and Laura. And her eyes went, woo. And I smiled. I said, have you never thought about it that way? She's like, I haven't. I'm like, I don't think that you hate me. I know you love me and you love Laura and you love Lincoln. We love each other. It's fantastic. We have a great relationship. You have a differing political viewpoint. That is all. And she was like, oh my goodness. That alone has opened the door for other conversations. We get to talk about our belief system. And it's very, very short gaps because, you know, it kind of gets heated and we both believe things very, very deeply. And so we can't get that deep into it every single time. But we get to talk. And I'm kind of guessing there aren't any other conservatives in her life talking about abortion or gun control or gay marriage or any of those types of things. I get to be that person because I'm not being thick-headed anymore. By the way, I used to get angry all the time about my belief system. I'm telling you from experience. Okay, the opposite is a debate. You go to debate, load for bear. Okay, load for bear, shoot often and a lot and then laugh the whole time. But when you have conversations, think about why. That will lead you to compassion. Why is the compassion? I saw a documentary called South Dakota. It's on abortion. I don't have the ability to debate abortion. I'm adopted. I've got a child. We've also lost babies. So when I understand that people do that on purpose, I don't have the ability to debate that rationally. So I don't. I talk about it with people that agree with me, that believe what I believe, and we concur, and we feel energized, and we love babies. But I don't debate that. I was watching a movie called South Dakota, and there's a woman talking on there. She's in her early 70s, and she's an abortion doctor. She's performed probably 60,000 abortions personally. It makes me literally sick to my stomach. I went home and just went to bed. I was so depressed. I was so sick to my stomach, but she was talking about her time in Africa when she was 18 years old, and she was doing a medical mission. She was doing a trip over there with some kind of a humanitarian organization doing something, and a friend of hers got pregnant. And she was from a tribe that would have stoned her and killed her had she come back being pregnant and unmarried. And her friend went and got an unsafe abortion and came home that night and developed a fever and started hemorrhaging and literally died in her arms. She was, I think, 19 when this took place. She's in her early 70s and she was weeping on camera talking about that. Weeping. And it was a bitter, hurtful, mourning, sorrowful weeping. And I thought, why would I ever beat that woman up with my knowledge about the unborn? She is in so much. Do I agree with what she's doing? Absolutely not. Do I understand her reaction towards seeing that? I do. I understand it. Doesn't mean I agree. Doesn't mean I won't fight against abortion for the rest of my life with everything that I've got. But if I met her, I would put my arms around her and I'd say, I'm so sorry for your loss. And try to find some commonality that would allow us to have a conversation together. I don't want to debate that woman. That'd be a horrible thing for me to do. It'd be a terrible Christian witness. I want to put my arms around her. Hurting people need to have people put their arms around them. Do you know who Richard Dawkins is? He's an atheist. Have they talked about him up here today? He's an atheist. Wrote a bunch of books. Doesn't like us. He wrote this. The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it. A petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak. A vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser. A misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully. Is that true? You know what? I don't need to get mad at Richard Dawkins. I feel sorry for Richard Dawkins. He's very, very angry. He's very, very sad. What I want to know, why does he think that? What happened in his life to make him think that God is those things? The God that loves me and cares about me and protects me, says, I knew you before you were born, that I knit you together in your mother's womb, that I know the number of hairs you have on your head and the number of days you have in your life. I have a plan to prosper you, not to harm you. That I knew you before you were born. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, past tense, before you were born. He loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. How did he come up with that definition of God? And how can I meet him someplace to show him who God really is? That is my challenge for you. That's my challenge for you. Meet people. Understand what you believe. Why you believe it. Fight for it vehemently. And when you meet people and you have a conversation with them, be Christ to those people.
And with that very challenge, we conclude this message we've heard the past 2 days on Family Talk from our very own Ryan Dobson. Dr. Dobson, I have to imagine you're very proud of this young man as we just heard him present this truth of the gospel with both passion and clarity.
Well, I am proud of Ryan, Lou Anne, and have been for a long time, many years. And Ryan, I've told you that many times, and I'm never more proud of you than when you talk about what you believe, about absolute truth itself. Now, absolute truth implies that some things are right and some things are wrong. That's what you were talking about. Some things are good, some things are evil. Some things are righteous, some things are not righteous or unrighteous. And yet in a relativistic world where people believe all kinds of stuff, that some of which is crazy, how does a young person decide what to believe? What is worth hanging your hat on? You know, if absolute truth exists, what is it and how do you find it?
Well, that's the first question. I've been having conversations in the last couple of years with people that have grown up in Christian families, been on mission trips, Christian schools, churches, who are in their late 20s, early 30s, now wondering whether God exists or not. And what I ask them is there anything that you can say is always wrong? Always, no matter what time, race, creed, culture, location, is it always wrong? And I have to go to an extreme. Is it wrong to hit a baby, an infant, to take a brick and to strike an infant? Is that always wrong? And they go, well, you know that's wrong, Ryan. I say, I do, but I know why it's wrong. Is it always wrong? Can you ever think of a time where it will be right? And they say, well, no. And I said, then you believe in God. Maybe you don't believe in my God, but you believe in a God, because you can't vote on that. You can't have a majority decision. It's always wrong. If it's always wrong, it wasn't decided by the smartest person or the largest group of people. It was decided by somebody who is higher than me, and that's God. And if you can start on that path, and that means all truth comes from God, every single bit of it. And the best place to find those truths, to learn more about God and his nature, so that you can decipher in your everyday life what is right and what is wrong, is to start in the Bible. That is the Word of God given to man. We had somebody on Grounded recently that smuggles Bibles into North Korea and Burma. That is an offense punishable by death. there. And we take it for granted at times. There are people with literally one page of a Bible that read it for encouragement and hope. And we can read it every day. And then you can find out about God. What is his character? What does he care about? What is he passionate about? And then look at your daily life and say, is what I'm doing right or is what I'm doing wrong?
Mm. You know, the philosophy that guides the American culture and Western cultures today is moral relativism, which says there not only is no absolute truth, but there is nothing that, as you just said, is always right or always wrong. Mm-hmm. It's all relative. I read an article not too long ago where the columnist was saying that in the universities today, moral relativism is the guiding philosophy. It is the god of the university, moral relativism. There is nothing that you can always count on. And this columnist talked about the fact that professors in universities talk about what Hitler did to the Jews, the Poles, the homosexuals, the gypsies, and others. And the students are asked, is this immoral? And the professor will then say, you can't say that because there is no immorality. When you stand up in front of an audience like you did and talk to them, you're saying that there's something that transcends the opinions and the values of our fellow man, something that is always right. How do you back up that statement?
I'll be honest. If you want me to offend a ton of people, I can do that very, very easily. I'd love to talk to those professors that say there is no morality, there is no right and wrong, because I guarantee you, if you let me punch them in the face about four or five times in a row, they're going to tell me it's wrong and to stop. And I'll say, why? It's not wrong. This isn't immoral. It's okay for me to do this. It makes me feel right. You believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. This is making me happy. It satisfies and fulfills me as a person. They will tell me not only is it wrong, but then they'll call the police. That's based on the rule of law, that there is a morality. Mm. If there is no right and wrong, then there is no law. And there is no reason for me not to do things like that.
Ryan, that's a great answer. And it's a right answer. It's a correct answer. Let me give you my answer to it. 2 weeks ago, somebody wrote me a letter and asked me about this question, essentially what I just posed to you. And this is a portion of what I wrote back. From my perspective, evil can only be interpreted meaningfully as it is contrasted with a moral standard. Hmm. God is the ultimate determiner of right and wrong, morality and immorality, wickedness and righteousness, and yes, good and evil. His standard, of course, is spelled out for us in the scripture. Any attempt by humans to make those value judgments apart from his holiness will necessarily be flawed. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In other words, we are incapable of recognizing evil apart from divine interpretation.
Isn't that amazing? In Proverbs, there's a way that seems right unto man, and in the end it leads to death. Mm-hmm. It seems right. It feels right. We think that it's right, and in the end it leads to death.
How do you, as a parent, you've got a little boy now, how do you get that across to your kids?
It's common sense. Mm-hmm. I think professors try to confuse people. They try to make it more complicated than it is. There is right and wrong. You innately know that. When you see commercials on TV to help the disenfranchised in foreign countries and you've got little babies with distended bellies and you feel sorrow, it tugs on your heart. Why? Because written on our hearts is right and wrong. It's wrong that there is suffering. That's not comedy. We don't sit and laugh at that because it's wrong to see suffering. It is ingrained upon us and it was given to us by our Heavenly Father.
Last question. We're almost out of time. You were speaking at a youth apologetics conference. Mm-hmm. Explain what apologetics is.
Apologetics comes from the apologies, and it really means a defense. People would write defenses of a belief, and apologetics is the defense of my Christian faith.
I'm still proud of you.
I appreciate it.
And if you would like to hear this kind of debate from Ryan Dobson all the time, go to our website, myfamilytalk.com. We have a link to his grounded internet radio program right there on the front page. Again, myfamilytalk.com. And of course, this two-day message that you just heard is available in its entirety at that website or on CD. We highly recommend you share this with your teenager. In fact, this is the only place that you will be able to get recorded messages of Ryan Dobson. Again, myfamilytalk.com, or give us a call, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. Have a great weekend and join us on Monday as we get some great advice for young couples from our good friend Kay Coles James.